It's time for the Del Olalea Show
on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Now, broadcasting live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Del Olalea.
When the world was a time of this and that, I was young, didn't know to hold it back. Now we're here in the world, something else. We can leave any day and call for help. We were gods, nobody was above me. The A on my chest like a Dolce. The A on my chest, put your fist up. The A on my chest like a chipmunk. Alvin, Theodore, breathe in, breathe out. Me and more, breathe in, breathe out. Never mind, it was time. Number nine, let my lies be line with a death wish. Be right, didn't have no name on a guest list. Hold on, we're destined.
I just did a spot for Super Happy Incredible Toys. They sponsor our weekly segment we do with Michael Carroll, where he informs you what you should or shouldn't watch on television. You know, I'm interested to see what Michael thinks about this. Did you see the trailer, Sean, for The Gorge?
No, I did not.
The Gorge features Miles Teller and Anya Taylor-Joy.
Okay.
And you think, oh, is that a romantic comedy?
With the name The Gorge, I don't think so.
But. No, but it's set up this way. She's going to put on her Russian accent. He's going to be just an American, it looks like.
Thank you, Miles Teller, for not trying an accent.
Thank you. Apple TV is the place you're going to be able to watch. It looks like a movie where each part of the world, I guess you want to say the Russian part and the Americans, they send operatives to a certain part of the world. And the gorge separates the two sides. And there can be no contact between each side. Maybe some type of standoff. I'm not sure. But they have to monitor maybe a demon, maybe a monster in the gorge. In the trailer, all you do is hear the sound of the monster roaming around down there. Maybe multiple monsters. But it's set up like one of those things where we can't meet each other, but we develop a bond. Because we can look across from each other, and we're going to stare at each other through our telescopes.
This is such an Apple TV show.
It's a movie.
Or movie. This is such an Apple TV.
They're combining sci-fi monster stuff with a potential romance where two people don't meet, except someone has a mishap, and the other person has to go down there and save them in the gorge. And, of course, they'll bond over a life-threatening situation, it feels like.
Oh, and it comes out on Valentine's Day.
See?
So it is a rom-com.
A rom-com with monsters in a gorge and paramilitary people and all those things. And
they're calling it a survival action film.
Well, that's the sell, but I think the sell is the two stars. And
yeah.
Will they or won't they get together, and can they survive the evil that they're trying to keep from the rest of the world? So that trailer popped up, and I thought to myself, you know what? I don't know if I'm interested, mostly because of the romantic angle. If it was just those two trying to kill things, I think I'm in. But then I got to listen to her in her accent, and then I got to look at Miles Teller. I'm not sure.
What happened there?
I don't know. I think I'm sick and tired of Miles Teller, I think. I'm not sure.
My mom would agree with you. My mom, you know how like moms just randomly hate actors?
Yes.
One of those happens. Is Miles Teller.
Yeah. I can't really explain it. I don't know. He was fine in Top Gun Maverick.
I mean, I was trying to sell my mom still hasn't seen Top Gun Maverick. I was like, it's awesome. Glenn Powell's in it. Tom Cruise, Miles Teller. She's like, ugh. I'm like, what was that?
I don't know. Maybe she didn't like him in The Spectacular Now. He took all the shine away from Shailene Woodley. I don't know why.
That's probably what it is.
Big
Shailene Woodley head. My mom.
Yeah. Yeah. Hate what Aaron Rodgers did to her. So does she, apparently. She's now speaking on that without saying his name. It was a dark time for her, apparently. Toxic relationship she was in.
Glad she's doing all right.
Big surprise Aaron Rodgers had a relationship that didn't work out well. Big surprise there. So The Gorge, Apple TV, that trailer came out, and I'm unsure. We'll see. We got a couple months before that movie comes out. Okay. We can move on from that. I did want to hear from Dana Brown one more time. He spoke about potential replacements. We've seen whether it could be DeCenzo or Whitcomb. Who is next in line if the Astros don't bring back Bregman? you can listen to him and see and determine whether this is going to be someone who is from the inside replacing him, or maybe they have to go find a kind of a stopgap to replace Bregman if he decides to go someplace else.
Yeah, I would say the internal solutions are maybe a little bit away, so maybe another 6 to 8 months, maybe a year. So I don't think it's going to be internal. But, you know, sometimes these young kids will fool you. And, you know, they'll come in camp, they'll look really good. They've worked their tail off in the offseason, so you never know. But we're not taking anything off the table. Hopefully, you know, maybe by trade or, you know, something like that. But nothing's off the table. You know, we're going to have to compete. We want to remain good. But we're focused on Bregman first. So that's our priority. It's been our priority from day one to get a third baseman signed. So, you know, we want him to come back.
So don't expect, at least right now, don't expect someone young to be taking this job if they don't get Bregman. It'll probably be someone like Polanco with the Domus off the table. If not Bregman, I don't know if they're spending money big at third base. And the question, I didn't keep the question. It was asked, they were asked, or Dana Brown was asked about first base too, whether it would be a Singleton who's back or would they lean to the youth. And I think that answer was for first and third base. So obviously, Bregman is the priority and focus, and that replacement, if it's needed, is something we're focused on. But I don't think they're going young at first or third, if I'm listening to what Dana Brown has to say. It could be a couple, 2-3 year deals for guys you're not that excited about, but they think they can compete with in the near future.
I'm looking at the available free agents. It's Ty France, Jorge Polanco, Joey Gallo. Are we shopping in that bin?
Bin is the right word for it.
Yeah, no, this is definitely the, like, you know, $2 DVDs for, I've never heard of this movie. Why does Steven Seagal need the money this badly?
I don't know. I don't know what project he has going on that we're not focused on, but yeah.
Kike Hernandez?
I don't.
Can I interest you in a Paul DeYoung?
None of these names are interesting to me. That's why I've consistently said, just go sign Bregman.
I scrolled down far enough.
Are you done?
I saw Jose Abreu. Yeah, I'm done.
That guy's still making lists, or is that just free agents on SpotTrack that you're
It's just
at?
The SpotTrack sorted by their estimated market value. Hey, there's Yuli Gurriel. Four spots below Astro.
He would have been a better option last year. He was on a team that was good last year.
Tim Anderson.
You're not giving me a lot of names that make me feel great.
Well, because I scrolled past all the good ones. I'm looking at basically $7 million and under.
Are we in that bin? That a corner infielder, they're going to go that low on the price?
Can I get you Gleyber Torres for 14?
Can the Astros? Would the Astros be interested in Torres for 14?
I mean, that's why I scrolled right past it. Johan Moncada?
Okay. Thanks, Sean.
Anthony Rizzo, $20 million a year is his estimated one. Oh, no, that's his previous. Okay, that's what he was making last year.
Yeah,
okay.
Anthony Rizzo, 35 years old, and what he did last year, 20. No way. No way. That name,
okay, so
that name
Rizzo?
Ain't impressing me anymore.
Can we do Rizzo?
For how much?
Rizzo and Polanco.
Come on.
Sounds like a law firm.
What a disaster. What a bad feeling you'd get if those are the two signings. You're going to walk into 2025 with that. Yeah, the window's closed. If that's what they're doing, the window's closed. That's what they're spending money on. Oh, by the way, they're trying to dump Presley too, which isn't such a problem, but it just speaks to what they think about their financial situation, that Presley's got to go, who was supposed to be part of the best
bullpen ever.
Now he's got to go, and it's financially based. Of course, he wasn't great last year either. So we're going to dump Presley. We're trying to get away from him. And then the response is, if you don't sign one of your cornerstones, is to bargain bin shop for corner infielders.
Carlos Santana?
Stop with the names. Okay.
He's so smooth.
Well, I prefer the guitar player at third just for the entertainment value. Even if he couldn't play the hot corner, it'd just be fun.
I think the window's back open if Carlos Santana.
Well, a different type of window. I'm not sure it's winning a title window. but the Astros would be more entertaining if they just threw old musicians there. Can Willie Nelson play first? Who else do you want to throw out there?
Willie Nelson, hot corner. I'm putting him at the hot corner.
Okay. You want to put Carlos at first?
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, that's where this Carlos Santana plays. Okay. I imagine the other one can play there, too.
Okay. I don't mind it if we're just going to become a minor league organization who's just trying to get people into the building.
Yeah, or the Savannah Bananas.
Yeah, you want to become the Savannah Bananas? They had a great crowd when Roy Oswalt wore whatever he wore to pitch. Let's do that. If we're not being serious about things, but I believe the Astros think they can still compete. So the Carlos Santana, Willie Nelson duo at first and third ain't exactly their approach.
Jerry Garcia.
Taylor Swift's Eras Tour is over. What is she doing?
Oh, put her in center field.
She's lanky.
Yeah, similar measurables to Cody Bellinger.
Yeah, can she move out there in center? I mean, talk about the crowds we'd get. All those dollar dog night things you're trying to manipulate and get into getting people in the building. Put a pop star in center field. She's probably tired and busy. Both. She's probably tired of touring the world for two straight years.
Although doesn't conflict with the Chiefs schedule. So
true.
She can make
it. So Travis Kelce can be at her games. What a flip. Well, beyond becoming the Savannah Bananas, the Astros' options are light, and we'll see if they can avoid all of this nonsense we just laid out by signing Alex Bregman to a long-term deal that makes him an Astro for the entirety of his career, which would be the dream. And you heard from your GM, he is optimistic. So we'll see how that goes. You know what I'm optimistic about? The thought of you guys going out to Monument Chevrolet and getting a new Chevrolet. Why wouldn't you go out there? They've been doing business for 50 years, and all that means is they are selling great cars to generations of customers, from the dad and the mom to the daughter and the son. They have sold cars to families, and that means they're dependable. It's a great experience. I understand going out to a dealership, not always fun, but they make it quick and easy. They understand you want to get in, get your new car, and get out. Just check out the inventory at monumentchevrolet.com, and then when you go out there, the prices that you see on the website are going to be the same you see once you head to the dealership, which is in Pasadena off of Beltway A and 225, 3940 Pasadena Freeway. No hidden fees, no upcharges. You get great salespeople walking you through the process. And they have a deal where they have the salesperson of the week. What does that mean? It means they are competing out there for your business. They want to make that the best experience possible. And the salesperson of the week this week is Isaias. He is a fluent Spanish speaker. If you go out there, he'll walk you through it. And maybe Spanish is the way you want to do business. He'll help you out there as well. So some of the new deals Isaias will provide for you or let you know about is this. You can go to Monument Chevrolet right now, and you get 1.9% financing on a new 2024 Chevy Silverado 1500 Crew Cab Rally Sport Truck with a 5.3-liter engine. Or you can choose an all-new electric vehicle with 0% financing for 60 months for well-qualified buyers. And on top of those deals, because it's their 50-year anniversary, they also have special deals across the inventory. So check them out at monumentchevrolet.com and then go out there. Maybe you want to get a new Colorado or Silverado. Chevrolet, together, let's drive.
You're back inside the Veritex Community Bank Studios with Del Olalea. I mean, you're not actually in the studio, but if you watch ESPN Houston's YouTube channel, it's kind of like you are. No, not really? Okay.
We haven't talked, well, really NFL outside of pointing out that we didn't have the Texans to talk about. We did that very early. So, did I mention that Jalen Milroe is returning? I think I said a college quarterback in the draft gets a little weaker if you are looking at a quarterback in the draft. Jalen Milroe is back. He's going back to Alabama. He made that announcement. So, he wants to go try to win a title. So, one of the guys who had some early buzz, and then we started to watch him play later, and that buzz dissipated. I believe he will be back in the draft. Or excuse me, he'll be back in Alabama. So good for Alabama. Don't need to find a replacement.
That explains why all the receivers are hitting the portal.
There was one receiver who I think he liked tweets or messages about Jalen Milroe not being very good, and he's in the portal. So,
yeah, if you're looking for a quarterback in this year's draft, are we sure Jalen Milroe is a quarterback?
He would have added to the list of guys who you might
he would have thrown at the combine
thought were draftable.
Yes,
whether you thought he was a franchise changer, that's up to your opinion. But he won't be a guy you can draft if you wanted to.
I'm not doing the Lamar Jackson should be a running back, but Jalen Milroe is not a.
All right,
is you not the passer. The,
you watch it.
He's not the passer.
You watch it, Bill Polian.
I'm just saying. I don't know. I watch him, and man, he killed Georgia and he killed LSU by running that football.
He did.
Not sure how many teams he killed by throwing the football.
It's not really what he was great at.
Yeah. So that's my concern with him on the NFL level.
And you know, let me make sure, because I saw it and then I have not seen anyone else put it out. So let me make sure that's a thing. There wasn't like
Pete Thamel not on that one?
No, but I did see what appeared to be a legitimate account, but I have not seen anyone verify it. So who knows? Maybe Jalen Milroe has not made a decision, but I have not. So maybe people will have the ability to draft Jalen Milroe if they so choose.
Yeah, he could be the Damian Pierce replacement for the Texans.
That's ugly. Cut it out. Hey, if Jalen Hurts can transfer to Oklahoma and become a starting quarterback in the NFL,
okay.
maybe that's the
go
option.
To USC.
Transfer to USC and then let Lincoln Riley work for you for a year.
I'm not sure Lincoln Riley still has the sauce.
Yeah.
I think he might have lost the recipe somewhere along the way.
Yeah, that comes into question. That can come into question. I'm not sure what that's about. What happened?
Bob Stoops merchant.
Bob Stoops had been out for a little while, and he was still winning games. Bob was still around the program, so maybe the Bob Stoop vibes were enough.
He took over in 2017, I think.
Yeah,
he was there until 2021. That's the one recruiting class that he stuck around for.
Sure,
I don't know, but
he was there before Bob Stoops left too, so he was part of getting Oklahoma to a spot where they could compete to make the playoff every year.
Yeah, he's a great offensive coordinator.
You come from a position of comfort because that's what they used to say about your guy. Now you can. And by the way, he's made less playoff appearances than Lincoln Riley has, right? Has Lincoln Riley made more than two?
I don't know.
So
did he make two at Oklahoma?
Well, he didn't make any at USC, so it had to be at Oklahoma. I would say hold off. Maybe your guy. He ain't exactly developing Quinn Ewers in anything. So all the talking. All it takes for Arch to not be who you think he is, and then we can start to say the same things about Sark.
Oh, we will. We will.
Don't you worry.
Unless the Bears or Jets hire him for a good chance.
I'm sure that'll go well for all parties involved. Okay, the NFL. Josh Allen, is he the MVP now? I feel like he is. He's had a great couple weeks, man. He's got a Spider-Man crashing out because he's got engaged. I didn't say the, I said.
No, I just want to make it clear for everyone in their cars.
Yeah, I didn't say the Spider-Man. A Spider-Man, the animated Spider-Man, one of the animated Spider-Man crashed out because Josh Allen got engaged to a Hollywood actress, and he's putting up 6 touchdowns in the game against the Rams in a game where Matt Stafford and Puka Nacua won out over Josh Allen's Bills. They likely lost out on the one seed. I mean, the Chiefs can drop a game. We saw them nearly lose. So I do think it's presumptuous to just assume the one seed is over, particularly because the Bills beat them already. But it's going to be tough. The Chiefs once again found a way. You're not going to find me rooting for the Chargers. Harbaugh or Herbert ain't at the top of my list of guys to root for. But at some point, they can't keep getting away with this, right? Jesse Pinkman meme. Are we going to continue to let this team do what they do? And that's 11 straight. One score wins, is that the stat for them? Where their record is in one score games right now?
Something like that.
Yeah.
I think they're like I saw someone say, and I don't know if they're joking because it was an absurd number, but I thought it was 15-0 in one score games since
last year?
Yes, going back to last year.
It could be.
Or like midway through last year.
They went and they won their 9th straight.
Or did AFC they lose West to the, title. The Bills game?
That was a two-score game.
That was a two-score.
Remember, okay. They went for it on fourth down. Josh Allen ran into the end zone, right. so that one doesn't count against them.
Spiritually, that's a one-score loss. But yes, I get it. They backdoored their way.
Yeah, they avoided. If we're going to lose.
The stat loses a lot of luster if they lose that one.
Yeah.
Oh, I have a question.
Okay.
And I feel like you're the most qualified person to. Oh. No, not the most qualified.
I can't be the most qualified
you're
person.
A qualified person to
answer anything.
Are the 2024 Kansas City Chiefs the NFL's 2014 FSU football team?
The Jameis Winston-led
team.
The 2013 team won the title.
They blew everyone out.
The 2014 team was scrambling down
undefeated
going into the Rose Bowl.
They were undefeated, and they would drop in the college football rankings.
They continue to fall.
Because of how he would play.
Whether they have a giant comeback against Louisville or Miami, they continue to win games and had the benefit of being the defending national champions. But when it came down to it, they were the four seed in the playoff and lost to Oregon in the Rose Bowl.
Beat Clemson in overtime.
That was the non-Jameis game.
Yes, that was the game that Jameis, McGuire joint.
That's the game that Jameis dressed up for like he was going to play. And then Jimbo said, get out of here. You're suspended. Take that off and go get in normal clothes.
Beat Notre Dame by four.
Yes, close wins all around.
Miami by four. Boston College
by average
three.
Average to bad ACC teams that they struggled with.
Unranked Florida by five.
Yeah.
Georgia Tech by two.
Yes. I would say it's not a bad comparison, but do you foresee a team considering, Jameis was the defending Heisman winner, so.
Yeah,
there are some comparisons that are dead on.
Because they get a benefit of the doubt because they did it before. And that FSU team the year before was, like, dominant.
Dominant. The Chiefs weren't even dominant last year.
But they won
two in a row, yeah.
So no one, this is a very, if this was, what was it, the 2022 Vikings that basically had this season and the entire time were like, we know how this is going to end. Like, we know this isn't for real. But because it's the Chiefs, like, we still kind of prop them up. Is there a chance that they run into their Oregon in the Rose Bowl and they go up against, maybe it's the Bills again, maybe it's whoever in the AFC playoffs, and you're like, oh yeah, the kind of getting by on the skinnier teeth kind of runs out and they're going to lose a multi-score game to one of the teams in the playoffs?
It's not a bad thought, except I don't think any team they would face, relatively speaking, is as good as that Oregon team that Florida State faced.
Yeah, and they lost by 39. That just doesn't happen in the NFL. But that kind of like where they
get beat by two scores and it's not competitive.
Yeah, or 17 or something.
That one's and it would have to be at home.
It would be at home.
That one I don't foresee, because I think if we're talking about teams who you think have a chance to beat them, I'll believe Buffalo beats them in a game in the playoff when they do it. Until that happens, throw in Lamar as well. So who's the team you trust to beat them? Other than locking into Chiefs' failures and their issues, what team in the playoffs in that scenario are you trusting to beat them? And the other
Pittsburgh
two
Steelers.
Likely okay Pittsburgh the other two likely teams that everyone points to, the Bills and the Ravens, have their own playoff scars they have to get over.
Yeah. I mean, yeah, that is right. But I do think that we're going to have, win/if they lose in the playoffs, I do think we're going to have this was sitting here in front of us the entire time. We just refused to see it.
We've just been burned too much by them last year.
Maybe it's in the Super Bowl. Maybe they get all the way to the Super Bowl.
And the Lions just whip them. That's possible.
I could see that, yeah.
Their offensive line isn't great. And if we go back to where they got beat by the Bucs, or when they got beat by the Bucs, that offensive line could not handle the Bucs' pass rush. Now, the Lions don't have a great pass rush. I mean, there's some hope that Hutchinson may find his way back for the Super Bowl. They brought in Smith. The Lions may just be able to score enough where the Chiefs just can't keep up because their lack of explosive plays has been an issue. The receivers not being available, Rashee Rice, Hollywood Brown. Hollywood Brown could come back. So I don't foresee that blowout happening until probably a Super Bowl. They can get beat in the playoffs in the AFC. I just don't see either of those teams blowing them out.
Yeah, I mean, all they need is for the kicker's kick to hit the other side of the upright, and the Chargers just went in and beat Kansas City. The Broncos just need to get the kickoff and they beat.
Well, there are ways that they lose a close game at home.
There's so many. Like, this isn't a team where it's like at Arrowhead they're unbeatable. It's like, no, they're very beatable.
They just keep winning.
Yeah. But they're beatable.
Yeah, they're what, 12-1 now? 11 of their 12 wins have been one score victories.
Yeah. Maybe it's the Chargers. Jim Harbaugh.
You're trusting Justin Herbert to win a big time game.
They both quarterbacks throw 4 interceptions.
Harbaugh has to be in the league for like 3 or 4 years and then start cheating like he did at Michigan before he wins a big game.
That's ugly.
It's the truth. You can call it whatever you want. Doesn't mean it didn't happen.
Get Boltman to steal the signs or something.
Boltman's not that inconspicuous. He's going to have to take off the Boltman costume to hide on the Chiefs sideline.
To be their Connor Stallion.
Yeah. Connor, while very obvious when you knew who he was, he wasn't wearing a giant Wolverine on his head. I didn't even mention it. Because Georgia won, we don't even get Bevo. We don't get the Bevo helmet or hat or whatever you want to call it. The headgear, I guess you'd call it.
It sucks.
Sucks for everyone. Sucks Julian, for I see you. You want to talk Lioness. I am up on the latest episode. It's a really good show. While they tried to create some drama by who's going to die, you're like, okay. This show's going to go on for more seasons. Cut it out. I know this person isn't dying. At least I watched it last night. The latest episode's pretty good. Check out Lioness, another one of Taylor Sheridan's shows. You can watch it on Paramount Plus if you so choose. We'll hear from Julian on it when we come back. Anyone else want to get in? 713-780-3776.
The Del Olalea Show
on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Now back to the Veritex Community Bank Studios with Del Olalea and his intrepid, most outstanding, arguably the greatest producer of all time, the one and only Sean Mapes.
He was about to be the host for a little bit. Coming back.
It's also the longest one we have.
I know. I've heard of it. I know you play that one when I'm late coming back. It's part of the tricks of the trade. Let's get to Julian. Julian wants to talk about Lioness, so he's Haldana of Lioness. What's up, Julian?
What's going on, gentlemen? Boy, they sure did glaze up Mapes on that one, didn't they? So I've called about a lot of shows, obviously, and I always forget to talk about Lioness. I think it's a really good show. I think it has a lot of action. I think it's everything that we want, right? One thing that I'm bothered by, can Joe just, like, relax? I need this. We get it. You're a strong woman. You don't have to, like, keep on and, like, making sure we know it by inserting yourself in these crazy predicaments. Also, can we just talk about, for a second, the fact that the Niners look so good when it doesn't matter? We're not going to make the playoffs. What we're going to do, we're going to be like the Cowboys. We're going to be not bad enough to get a high draft pick, but not good enough to do anything. And that's where we are this year, and it's sickening. Have a good day, gentlemen.
Yeah, the Niners took apart the Bears. What does it mean? The Bears with no real head coach, team in flux. They won a game they should have won. Can they make the playoffs? You look at where they are right now. The 49ers are 6-7. The leader of the NFC West are the Seahawks. They got another win over the Cardinals. They're 8-5. So two games back, no real shot at the wild card. So they're going to have to find a way to win this division. The Niners are perfectly balanced, as Thanos would say. 308 points given up, 308 points scored.
Boom.
Boom. Perfectly balanced. But that's not helping them in terms of the playoff chase. So if you look at their schedule the rest of the way, they have a game at home against the Rams, a team who's a game ahead of them, at the Dolphins, home to the Lions, at the Cardinals. So those are four teams either are going to make the playoffs clearly, like the Lions, or teams fighting for a spot. So they're playing, for the most part, teams just like them. They likely would have to go 4-0 to make the playoffs, being two games behind the Seahawks. Just, I haven't even looked at the Seahawks' schedule, but they've lost to the Seahawks and won, so they split, so they don't have the advantage there. So likely they'd have to win out. That's a tough schedule as far as situation. Home game, then cross-country to Miami, then home against the Lions, back cross-country, then at the Cardinals. The Cardinals feel like the weakest of those because it's Kyler Murray time, late.
I thought he was going to beat the allegations
this
year.
Not this year. It is that time of the year where Kyler Murray starts to revert back to the guy that always struggles at this time of the year. So that's where we are. It's not impossible. You just have to play better than really you've played all year consistently, and that's the problem.
You just have to be the team we thought you were going
to
be.
Yeah, you have to be the team that we thought you were, except you don't have the players that would help you get there.
And you've proven, 14 different times
that you're not that team. So yes.
That is tough.
You're 13 games in, your point differential is even, and you're under 500. So they're not out of it, but it's going to be tough for them.
I do have some breaking news. This isn't like huge news, but it's huge news for the show. This man is basically a character on the show. Some would say this man produces the show.
Okay. What's the breaking news?
From Matt Zinnitz of CBS Sports. The current expectation is that star quarterback Cam Rising won't return to Utah next season.
That doesn't mean he's going to go into something other than pro football. That means
he's a gambler. Get ready.
He's going to play college football again.
Oh, okay.
The gamblers are pro football, semi-pro football.
They're pro.
Pro football.
They get paid.
They get paid, sure. So
the AAF was the one that they didn't get paid.
That's true, and that's why that league didn't last very long, although the XFL has had their issues as well. So Cam Rising, your doppelganger.
Yes.
And we say your because you're older slightly, which is part of the joke, is no longer going to be a Utah Ute. Where will he go? What middling ACC team wants Cam Rising on their roster?
Florida State.
They are in for some other middling quarterbacks, Thomas Cassiano's apparently they're interested in.
Nice. Love that. Oh, yeah, I forgot. They have Gus Malzahn.
Yeah. Cam's not going to
Cam Rising and Gus Malzahn.
No, he's going to need a guy who can move.
I don't think he makes it past spring ball.
And speaking of that, who's back at UCF? Little old Scott Frost. Gus Malzahn ditches them to be the Florida State OC. They bring back the guy who
won a national championship.
Their glory days. The guy who authored their glory days. Scott Frost, if you missed it, Scott Frost is back at UCF. He talked about how sometimes when you're climbing up the ladder, you don't realize how good you have it until, you're gone.
Thank God someone pushed him back down the ladder.
Someone. An entire program said, or an entire conference, you're not good enough here. Go back down that ladder. Later. That's what the Big Ten did to Scott Frost.
That went from, oh, wow, they're really interviewing the guy that you're just hiring your ex, and then boom, we're hiring our ex. We're all super happy.
They didn't even pause. Like, this can happen. Let's do it.
They didn't even get Bill Belichick in for an interview.
Yeah.
Nothing.
Yeah, and North Carolina's doing that, and it's not even the AD who hired him. The AD who hired him is at Tennessee, right? Danny O'Neill.
Danny White. Yeah.
Danny White. Danny O'Neill's a former quarterback. Danny White hired him at UCF. Now he's at Tennessee. So it wasn't as if his good buddy made the decision.
This is like a booster hire.
Oh, yeah.
That's what it strikes me as.
We remember beating Auburn in that Peach Bowl, celebrating our national championship.
It's hiring Mac Brown in North Carolina. Hey, remember the good old days?
And for them,
at least these are in HD. You know?
That's right. That's right. Dre Bly wasn't making plays.
Yeah, this is much more recently.
Yeah.
Of the glory days. It's like 5 years ago.
Yeah. The corner who was making plays then is still in the league.
Yeah. Shaq Griffin.
Shaq Griffin. He just started playing for another team. I know they were making note of it that he made a couple big plays for his new team. I forgot where Shaq Griffin is, but he's still playing, and UCF has their ex-coach back. I wonder if he'll bring back, like, former players as assistants. Will he do that thing, or he will just actually hire the best guys?
Mackenzie Milton being
as
their
a quarterback coach or something. Yeah. Yeah, maybe
Shaquem Griffin
as the linebacker coach,
linebacker, yeah.
Or maybe at least an analyst. Maybe maybe he avoids that and hires actually established, accomplished coaches to help him get back into the fold. They are in a Power Four conference, so that was a goal when he was there. He helped get them there, and now he returns. Scott Frost back at UCF. That's a fun story.
That is a fun one.
Yeah, it's just hey, look at that. Remember when they were doing that thing, the guy who was there is doing it too. I told you I hold this line, never go back. I don't use Nebraska as an example because I don't care about them, but Scott Frost went back and look what happened. Now he went back again to a different spot.
I think it will work out better.
I think
they'll make a bowl game is what I'm saying.
Yes,
because they didn't make a bowl game in Nebraska.
Yes, it's low bar for it to be better at UCF than it was in Nebraska. Don't go back, man. Just stay or go someplace else. Although the Rhett Lashley thing, he was the OC at SMU, became the head coach, so that is working out. But it's not his alma mater. Part of the vibes is don't go back to your alma mater.
Yeah, because now, like, I don't know. Does Nebraska, when they have their anniversary for whichever team,
the 97 team,
yeah,
will
they invite Scott Frost?
He'll be back.
Wave at the crowd.
He'll be back because it'll be enough distance. Well, 2027, that'd be 30 years. Yeah. Right? 30-year anniversary? Right?
Yes.
30
and
years.
It'll be 5 years since he got fired. 4 years.
Yeah, that'll be enough time. He'll be back, welcome, open arms, blah, blah, blah. As long as he doesn't – what if he has, like, UCF at the top of the Big 12?
No, 5 years. 5 years since he got fired.
Yeah, if he has UCF at the top of the Big 12 and Nebraska's still languishing with Matt Rhule or whoever it might be at that time. It won't be Matt Rhule at that time.
If they have a vacancy.
Yeah. No, they won't do it again. They won't double up. There's no chance they double up. Scott Frost just said he learned his lesson. He can't go back again. He learned.
That'd be great if he just snaps between those two coaching jobs.
And UCF always welcomes him back because they only win with heat when he's there.
Days.
And Nebraska has memory loss and they forget how bad it was when he was there. I love it. Just keep getting raises from Nebraska and then going back.
Yeah, just go 5-7 every year at Nebraska. Go to UCF, go 13-0, and get to the job at Nebraska again. I'm saying, Scott Frost, infinite money glitch. This is how you do it.
I would tell Scott Frost, if you happen to raise UCF up to the level where they're 13-0 again,
stay.
Just effing stay. If you can control the Big 12, whatever that the Big 12 looks like when you get UCF back at the top, just stay. You really want to go to Nebraska and get your head caved in by the likes of Iowa. And, of course, that's not even mentioning playing Ohio State and Penn State and Michigan if they bounce back.
Or just, you know, move up the road a little bit. Say, you know, one of the actual Big 3 schools has a opening, you know, Florida State head coach. Scott Frost.
The timing's not right. He's going to have to be really good the next 2 years, and then Mike Norvell's got to get fired. Which one of them
I think can
really happen. I don't know if he's going to have UCF at a point where Florida State's going to demean themselves by hiring the UCF coach, which is what they would consider it.
Yeah, that is true.
Yeah, they're as bad as they were this past year. They will look at it as, no, he failed in Nebraska. Why are we hiring him? Even if he does do great at UCF, we don't hire UCF coaches. It's part of the vibe of college football.
We hire Memphis coaches.
It ain't UCF, though. We're not hiring in-state. We're not hiring the interloper. We're hiring an up-and-coming guy at Memphis, not the interloper at UCF. That's a distant future, possibly. I wouldn't mind it. I got my own problems to deal with. Like that concerned about what UCF or Florida State do?
Scott Frost doing the throwing up the U at the press conference.
Not a chance. Mario's going to be there for like 8 years. He got booster money. Yeah. His buddies hired
him. And when you make the Pop Tarts Bowl, I mean, you got to keep him.
Yes, we talked about the floor and how bad you feel. You hit the floor after you are in the playoff, and then you're not.
Yeah. Two weeks ago, Miami was in the playoff.
Yes,
but now they're at the Pop Tart.
But the other thing is. He won 10 games, so he ain't going nowhere. That's the larger picture. He did win 10 games. All right, we're done. We'll get more into the Texans as there are things to talk about as we get closer to them playing and playing the Dolphins. So we'll talk about that later in the week. We're done for the day. Gallant and George follow me, followed by the Killer Bees. So if we're done, what does that mean?
We did it!
I'll talk to you tomorrow.